Amen. Good morning, everybody. They'll get here. I am.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor. I appreciate the kind introduction. Sometimes when you hear an introduction about yourself, you're like, "Oh, I can hardly wait to hear myself today." You know, so it's kind of fun. Hey, can I tell you a few things about your church? I go to lots of churches. Lots. I'm somewhere new every week. You have good worship here. There is a movement and a flowing of the Holy Spirit. Let me encourage you, dive in. I mean, dive in. Because these guys are in tune with the Lord, and it can take you somewhere that only God can take you. And so that's good. The Hebrew word is, that's juicy. Amen. It's not a Hebrew word, but it is juicy. So, praise the Lord. Communion. I want to say something. These are just little tidbits I was thinking as the Holy Spirit. Communion is, my pastor always used to tell me, you're never closer to God than when you take communion if you're really reflecting correctly. You're handling the body and the blood of the Lord. That's the thing that made it all happen for us. And God is here. And the scripture says that as often as you take the communion and you're celebrating, it says, the Bible says, the Lord's death until he comes. So communion is a reflection on what is done in the past, but it's also a look into the future. Can I tell you, he's coming back again. I don't know how often we say that these days, but he's coming back. Amen. Well, they're going to put a PowerPoint up for me, and I want to talk to you this morning about what I'm calling the moment of great rumblings. So I got a couple of stories that I need to tell first, because a few years ago, the Lord began to talk to me about how you posture yourself to see the moving of God. You understand in this life that there's all kinds of stuff that goes on. Don't you deal with stuff? And the whole thing is, the devil is the master of stuff, isn't he? He keeps stuff going on all the time. And the whole idea of him stirring up stuff is to keep us focused on the stuff so that we don't see what God's up to. But he's always moving. We don't have to convince him to move. He's always moving, but we may not see it because of how we're distracted by the stuff that goes on in life. And it's just one of those things, but he began to talk to me about how you posture yourself in such a way that you can see what God's up to and you can join him. And so he's always moving, like Eddie led us as we were singing this morning. He's saying about a river that's flowing, and it's always flowing, and the word of the Lord was, there is a river that makes glad the city of God. If you get in that river, your heart is going to overflow with rejoicing, and that it's out of our belly, the Bible, which means our innermost being flows a river of living water. You don't know it, but I'm hosing you down right now. Amen. The river of God, it's just, but you're washing back, amen, because it's in all of us. And I know that there's a work of the Spirit going on in our world right now. I know it's going on. Well, the Lord began to talk to me about that. I know the time and place. When God starts to speak to me in strategic ways, I date it and write it down. It was in Odessa, Texas, July the 20th, 2014. It was 5 years ago. And I was at a church in Odessa. It was before the service. And we were getting ready, and all of a sudden, I had a vision. You believe in those, right? I open-eyed, you just see over into the Spirit all of a sudden. The Bible teaches that in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 16 through 21. It says that in the last days, God would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So that can happen among our young people. And it says your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Well, I had a vision which was encouraging to me that I must still be a young man with God. As a matter of fact, as old as God is, I'm just a pup. Amen. I'm no comparison. But I had that vision, and I saw a young woman standing on top of a grassy hill with a good stiff wind blowing. And it looked like waves. If you've ever seen a good grassy field and the wind is blowing, I mean, it looks like waves. And then I heard the Lord say the words from the song that we sing about America. He said, "Amber waves of grain." So I knew He was talking about the harvest coming in, which means many people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I noticed that the young woman was picturesque of a bride, that she had her bridal gown on, and she was just sitting there in a posture of absolute surrender. The wind was blowing in her face, washing of long hair was whipping, and her garment, she had her bridal bouquet, and I knew it was a word for the bride of Christ, which is the church. And she was enjoying every moment of it. And I just had this crazy idea. I think I'm going to Google it. Amen. Google everything. And I said, "Bride in the harvest field." And that picture came up right there. And that was what I was seeing. That she's facing the Son of Righteousness. And that the wind was blowing and she was just surrendered. You know how you get involved with God moving? You have to surrender to Him. Because it's about what He wants and it's not about what we want. And if we're willing to surrender to Him, we get to experience what the Holy Spirit wants to bring for us. And I heard the Lord say, "Tell my church, tell my bride to step back out in the harvest field and to sense and feel which way the wind is blowing. And while you're out there, I want her to hear what I have to say." And then He said, "My spirit is a wind that cannot be seen with the physical eye, but it will produce visible results." And the scripture came to me then that says, the wind blows where it wishes. You can hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. Are you born of the Spirit? So that's how this thing works for each one of us. We can't tell where it comes from or where it goes, but we can hear it if we're postured right. Or we can be so focused on the stuff that goes on in life that its voice becomes louder than the voice of God is to us. And I started realizing two important things from that scripture right there. Number one is, God does what He wants to, when He wants to, how He wants to, and He doesn't have to have our permission to do it. Now, you may have a way that you like to serve God, but He doesn't have to do it that way. He has a way that He wants it to be done. The real question is whether we will do what He wants or try to insist to Him that He does it our way. Y'all like me, I like you. Amen. The one thing about this, I've learned that since I don't pastor a church, I did in Waxahachie for 24 years, I get to hit and run, hallelujah, and leave it up to Him to fix it if it's all messed up, you know, so praise God. But apparently He trusts that I'm going to love you like I would my own church, and I will. And so, but it's about posturing. And second, I learned from looking at that scripture that we're not as good at being led of the Holy Spirit as we think we are. Because it says we don't know where it comes from or where it goes, but we can hear it. And so that helps me to be balanced out, that the moment I think that I'm the one hearing from God and all the rest of you are goofed up, that's when I'm really goofed up. It's like those pastors that talk together. You know, it'd be like me and Pastor Terry talking together, and I'd say, "Pastor, you know, I'm worried about everybody else." And he said, "I am too, brother." And I said, "I've been worried about you a little bit lately, too." That's kind of how we are about the leading of the Spirit. We're just not as good as it as we think we are, and it's very important for us to be like that bride, surrendered, yielded, and realizing that our big ideas, some of them might be right, but some of them might not be. It's kind of like the guy that he said, the Lord called me to go down and minister to people in Mexico. And he said, I don't want to go to Mexico, Lord. And he said, well, I want you to minister among the Catholic people there. And he said, I don't want to, Lord, because I don't believe everything that the Catholic believe. And he said, I know, but you go ahead anyway, because I don't believe everything you believe either. We might be shocked that God doesn't believe everything we believe. Amen. Which means we always stay dependent on the Lord, right? I'm trying to get on with my message, but anyway, I'm going. But we have to realize that wherever he is blowing in a direction. He is blowing towards a purpose, and that the closer we follow him, the better off we are, that we can fulfill what he wants to. So you got to decide if you're going to follow his plan or if you're going to follow your plan. But wherever he is all wise and all powerful. So to be with him is to be where the knowledge is and to be where the power is. And I need to say that because we need to posture ourselves. And that means being absolutely yielded and surrendered to God. It's about being less of you and more of him. And it's about emptying yourself, which is the model that Jesus revealed to us, because it said the Son of God made no reputation for himself. Though he were God, he did not make himself equal with God, but he made of himself no reputation. That means he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. If God takes on the form of a servant, I sure don't want to try to be boss. Amen? I want to empty myself so that there's more room for him. So that's the first thing. I got to tell you the second thing that happened to me, and that leads into this message. In 2017, I had a very personal encounter with the Lord. I was born April 16th, 1955. And it just so happened that Easter 2017 was on my birthday. That was the Lord just kind of putting the finishing touch. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a divine moment. Thank you. Hallelujah. And on my birthday, Easter Sunday morning, I woke up in the wee hours of the morning. I'm talking 3 o'clock, something like that. And I had no idea that God was about to gift me with something on that morning. And I woke up, and immediately it was like I was in the Spirit and the Lord was talking to me. Like John on Patmos in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Literally, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day that day. And as odd as it may sound, he was present to teach me something. And all of a sudden, in that pitch black, I knew, you'll understand what I mean, I knew I was in the tomb. It was complete black. It was like I was in the tomb. I was seeing what was in the tomb. Darkness, that was what was in there. Jesus was over there, but it's pitch black. I've been in that tomb in Israel, and if that stone is rolled over the door, you wouldn't see your hand in front of your face. And I know that's true because I went in the caves down in San Marcos, Texas, and they said, if we turn out the lights, you won't be able to see your finger on your nose. And they turned out the lights, and I put my finger on my nose, and they turned the light on and caught me doing it. And I couldn't see it. And all I could see was darkness. It was like it would have been in the tomb, deathly quiet, completely dark. It was the pause before the power. Because in a few split seconds, when life entered the body of Jesus, everything in the tomb was going to change. And I heard the Lord said, this is the moment of great rumbling. I understood. Because throughout the Bible, there are always spiritual rumbles, before the big one comes. It always happens that God never just goes, surprise! He always has this thing happening to cause people to focus in that the big thing is on the way. It happens repetitiously. Rumblings can also be the feelings and opinions of dissatisfactions. People, there's rumbles because the gas prices are too high. Things like that. And there's a rumbling, or in other words, there's a disturbance in the spirit of people because things just don't seem right. And always kind of a working of dissatisfaction before the thing comes. It makes us hunger for something better than what we have. And how many of you know this world that we're living in, these United States, is getting pretty goofy these days? There's a lot of disfaction. There's a lot of rumblings. There's a lot of divisive. But can I tell you something? It's the perfect atmosphere for God to work in. I tried to say that a little bit more resounding so you would get back. Amen. Praise God. So there's this deep, low-grade kind of rumble. It's like Elijah saying, I hear an abundance of rain, but the rain's not there. It's like a little cloud the size of a man's hands coming, and he goes, there's a whole lot of rain coming. From that, it's that low kind of thunder that you hear way off in the distance. Something's coming. Something's coming. It's kind of like, can I stop and say this to you? Something's coming. You can be sure. God's going to show up. Something's coming. Those things we prayed for, something's coming. It's kind of like the seismic waves of an earthquake. There are P waves that are the lighter rumbles. And then there are S waves. They increase. And then there's the earthquake. It always works that way. In the natural, it works that way. In the spirit, it's like John the Baptist coming before Jesus saying, prepare the way of the Lord. He's coming. It's that kind of thing. Anybody here ever heard of Harry Truman? Some people are saying, yes, the 35th president of the United States. Not that Harry Truman. There was another one. That was Harry S. Truman. There's Harry Randall Truman. He's the guy that died at the bottom of Mount St. Helens because he wouldn't leave when they said that volcano was going to blow. And the signs were all there. I remember that moment. I remember listening on TV as he made the headlines living at the base of Mount St. Helens, right in the place where the main lava flow would come off of that mountain. And Harry said, I'm not leaving. And the signs were there that the scientist was 100% correct that that thing was going to blow. In fact, steam. I've flown over Mount St. Helens. It's a huge mountain, and steam blew out the sides of a mountain from crying loud. There's your sign. But Harry said, no, I'm not going to move. And then the entire side of the mountain bulged from the lava. That would be called a sign. The warnings, the signs were all there that the big one was coming. But on May 18th, 1980, Harry Randall Truman died when that mountain exploded with such power that in 180 seconds, it spewed fiery rock 230 miles in every direction. Spread ash over 11 states. All I'm saying was the rumblings were there that something bigger was on the way. It's happened throughout the Bible. Noah built an ark and said, it's going to rain and the flood's going to come. And they had never seen rain before at that time. The Bible said back then, mist come up from out of the earth. And he's going, it's going to rain. It's going to come down out of the sky. And they're saying, you know, no, Noah, he's a cult. He's preaching some kind of insanity. But it came. Just like God said it would. Moses did miracle after miracle warning Pharaoh that the big one was going to come and Pharaoh wouldn't change, and the big one came. He placed a star over Bethlehem to say that the Savior was coming and that Jesus was going to be born, and wise men went to that location, but crazy enough, he came to an end first and they rejected him from coming, but the signs were all there of what the prophets had said. He sent John the Baptist, as I said, crying. All I'm saying is that there are those who posture to listen that hear things before they're come. Like the sons of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel are to do. And by that, the understanding, it means that they had the discernment faculties and intelligence to act because they had an acquaintance with the Lord. If we're close to God and our relationship is such that we can hear Him talking and we have not a casual acquaintance, but an intimacy with God and an acquaintance with God, it gives us the ability to see and hear things about what God wants to do, even though our world goes nutty around us. It anchors us. And then in times, it doesn't mean whether it's a good time or a bad time, but it means that because we have an acquaintance with God, in all situations we can see the opportunity that God has for us. God always has an opportunity. He always makes a way of escape, the Bible says. And so I love this scripture. It says, he who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns time and judgment, because for every matter there is a time and a judgment, though the misery of man increases. I love that because it says even though life gets more miserable, that in the middle of that misery there's still a time and there's still a good judgment that we can make to see what God has, even though things go nutty and crazy. We've all had those nutty moments, right? We've had tragic moments. I've had tragic moments. Man killed my dad. And then on that moment, that could be a bitterness, or I can look for God in the middle of the situation. Rather than letting the hatred of a man guide my heart, God could guide my heart and enable me to live more powerfully and become more like Jesus in the process. It's one of those crazy kind of things that in every moment of tragedy, of misery, of heartache, there's still the time and the judgment and the opportunity if that circumstance doesn't drive our thinking and we look for God in the middle and He shows us the way out and He shows us the opportunity for what He brings. And there I am, sitting there in this moment with God in my room at 3 o'clock in the morning. The signs were there. The first thing that happened in the scripture is, all I'm saying is that at the death of Jesus, before it happened, there were signs that something bigger was on the way. I'm going to read it all to you and then we'll come back to this. In the Bible, in Matthew 27:51-54, it says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran, took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, King James says vinegar, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. And the rest said, kind of like us today, let him alone, let's see if Elijah comes. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. It's the way of the kingdom to tap into what God has, even in difficult situations. You yield to God. and he yielded up his spirit. And when he did, now listen, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earthquake, rocks split, and graves opened. And many bodies of the saints who fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to people. So when the centurion and those with him were guarding saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they said, truly, this is the Son of God. And I'm thinking, you think? I'm pretty sure those were pretty major signs that were going on. But that wasn't the big one. Something else was on the way. Sign number one, darkness covered the earth. The Bible said, as Jesus is dying on the cross, it goes dark. Matthew said, from noon until 3 p.m, darkness covered the whole line. That was sign number one, that something in the spirit was working. The physical elements were changing in the middle of the day. Amos had prophesied about it before it ever happened. It shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that I'll make the sun go down at noon, and I'll darken the whole earth in broad daylight. The incredible thing is, back with Moses under the law, the same thing happened with the ninth plague and all of Egypt went dark. And now here we are racing up to the New Testament being birthed and born and coming into existence, and the earth goes dark. And we're seeing the activity of God is so profound that the old law is now being fulfilled by what Jesus is doing on the cross. And a new light is about to break out in the earth. Incredible what's happening in this moment. If I get loud, just take it, okay? Because I'm going to get a little excited. I would moonwalk for you, but I'm old. My leg hurts. Amen. I'm not going to do it. So, all I'm saying is that the rumbles were there as Jesus lays in the tomb. We see signs had happened previous to that coming up. The next crazy thing that happens, incredible, is the veil in the temple tore. The curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from the top down. And all of a sudden, in the moment, with Jesus dying, the God, by the Spirit, grabs the veil. This is not like a curtain in your home. And it doesn't tear from the bottom up. It's God tearing it from the top down. And as Jesus dies, the whole Holy of Holy opens up so that now man, by the blood of Jesus, can go into the holiest place with God if we accept what the blood does for us. Hebrews said, not with the blood of bulls and calves, but with his own blood he entered into the holy place once and for all, obtaining eternal redemption for us. And now that we have boldness to enter by a new and living way, that as Jesus was dying on the earth, the spirit world was functioning and God was acting at the same time. It looked tragic as he was dying, but over here in the spirit, God was working a plan. Can I tell you, God's got a plan for your life? I don't know what you're going through, but I got to tell you, God's working his plan even when it looks like he's absent. He's involved in getting his people to move on into everything he has designed for their lives. Wow. Maybe you'll get it if I say it backwards. Wow. I'm a little tricky sometimes. And then incredibly, as he takes his last breath, the earth quakes and rocks split. Can you imagine that as Jesus dies upon the cross, an earthquake happens? This has not been unusual in the kingdom of God. As Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the Bible says the whole mountain shook violently. And I think there's something significant that as when the law was given and the mountain shook violently, now we come up to the New Testament at Mount Calvary and the mountain, the earthquake shakes and old Sinai as having to give it up to the new King of Kings that is now coming into authority. Wow. I could probably dismiss and we'd go home and say, I need to ponder for the next 3 months what that was. It's pretty incredible. But then this one blows my mind. The dead were raised. The tombs were also open, and many of the bodies of the saints, Old Testament saints, that had fallen asleep were raised. Maybe as the earthquake shook, someone's scientific mind said, well, the earthquake shook and the graves opened. They were walking around, for crying out loud. And again, it's demonstrating the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And I couldn't imagine what that would be like. I have only seen pictures of my great, great, great grandmother, but what would it be like to walk around the corner? Oh, Grandma! Old Testament saints up walking around. That would be an intense. There's a sign. But now there I am back, laying in my bedroom, and this is God's talking and working. And in the stillness, He's showing me about that and reminding me in the book of Acts that there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on earth the distress of nations. With perplexity, sea and waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and the expectation of those which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when you see these things, lift up your heads, because it's coming. Redemption is drawing near. Something big's coming. But can I tell you this? I'm thinking something big is coming before that big one comes. I think it's something for the bride. I think it's an empowerment for the harvest to come to Jesus. That last loving move of God to get as many people saved as possible. I performed a funeral yesterday for the mother of the church I pastored. That's what we called her. Black woman named Sister Lorraine, 94 years old. Never saw a woman live for God like that. She was my teacher. Outlived 8 of her 10 children. First 2 died in a fire. 1 tragically shot to death. And as I walked with her and stood in funeral services, I would watch her stand up and say, all I know is my God does not make mistakes. She was the Rock of Gibraltar. She was my teacher. She taught me. She was our mama, our spiritual mama. And what I know is that I'm sharing that to tell you this, that she trusted God to keep her in every situation. And never did I see anybody talk about Jesus like a river flowing out of her. One of my last conversations with her, she was in a nursing home in a place for care. And she calls me on the phone and said, I say, Sister Lorraine, how are you today? She said, Pastor, I'm up here on a mission from God. I said, what are you talking about? And I'm thinking, I don't ever want to go there. But for her, it was a mission for God. And I said, what do you mean? She said, God has put me up here to get all these old people saved so they don't have to die and go to hell and they get to go to heaven. I said, pray for me. Praise God, She had it. She got it right. She was locked in with her God. So here I am. What time you get out of here, Pastor? About 3:00? Okay, I'm just checking. I can beat 3:00, everybody. Take heart. All I know is that I'm laying there in the stillness of my room, and then I hear it. In the spirit, God's helping me to hear, and it sounded like this. He breathed. That's what happened in that tomb. All of a sudden, the breath of God. He just breathes. See, the resurrection was a breath. That's not unusual to Jesus, because after he was risen from the dead, he says to all of his disciples, he shows up in the room, scares the bejeebies out of them, right? Because he shows up. And he says, as the Father sent me. This is a big chunk of scripture right here. Because he's saying this to you and to me, as the Father sent me, that's how I'm sending you, in the same way. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That's a big piece of scripture too. And talks to us about the responsibility of sharing the good news of the Lord so that people have the opportunity to be released. And all I'm saying is that I knew that as Jesus took his first breath, I don't believe it was this gasping breath. I believe it was God in control. I believe it's like a breath that you would take. I don't have any scripture to back it, but I'm just going to believe what I want to on that one, okay? Because you don't go to heaven or hell off of that one. And it's just, I just believe God's in control, and he breathed like we breathe when we wake up in the morning. I just believe he took a breath all of a sudden. The body that had been dead 3 days takes a breath. I can tell you this, when he took that breath, heaven expelled and hell heaved, and the breath of God had been released back into the earth again. And the devil knew something was going on inside that tomb in that moment, because things rumble when God breathes. They have a spiritual dimension to them. And the resurrected Jesus means he's a breathing in Jesus. And he commissions them that the resurrection is a breath from God. And I'm not saying it's this thundering, loud thing. It doesn't have to be that. Just the breath of God means God is alive. I think God is saying, I want you to posture as my bride and let me breathe on you again. I'd like you to take the restrictions off of me and let me breathe on you so you'll think like I think. I think that's the offer on the table. The resurrection was an awakening. Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I know in that moment after he took a breath, the next thing he having is he opened those eyes. I believe hell stirred again. He's awake. He's awake. Oh. The essence of the resurrection is to awaken his people to what he's up to and what he does. And the rumblings were meant for the spiritual realm to see, but they were also a proclamation that heaven's prince was awake and that the throne of God was connected to him. It was a breath and an awakening of revitalization and transformation. Organs started to be restored. Blood pumping through veins and artery. Bodily fluids flowing. Muscle and sinew strengthening again. Every eyes and tongue moistening, coming back to life. And life is filling the darkness in that moment. And a restoration to wholeness and completion. And I think that's a word for the church. Is that we don't have to limp along through life. That he will restore us to wholeness again. If we'll just let God be God. And the resurrection was a light being released. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. And that it doesn't matter how dark it is, when the light comes in, the dark cannot abide the light. And you may be going through a very dark place in your life right now. But I want you to know that the Lord is not troubled by our darkness. That's what he handles the best. That's what he does. He dispels the darkness because he's the wonderful light, and light has come in the Lord. And then in that moment, this is my bedroom scene. I'm in the spirit. He gets up on his feet. Now look, Here's, I just wanted to use this as an example, but the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, the wind was contrary, and the fourth night of the watch, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. All I'm saying is when Jesus gets on his feet, things crazy start happening, miraculous start happening. He can walk on water. And now in the tomb, that is back up on its feet again. In that moment, oh my, when he walks among people, it rumbles. Oh, it rumbles. And resurrection was life triumphing over death in that moment. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's majestic, it's glorious, it's powerful. Resurrection, life triumphing over death. He has risen. But I need to say this. This is what God was showing me. He was risen to full stature, but still in the tomb. A lot of people have a Jesus that they can get to heaven on, but he is locked up on the inside of them. It's like we've entombed him. It's like we've imprisoned him, and we don't let him out of our lives to do what only he can do. And that sometimes requires a step of faith. And I know theologically what I'm saying has some challenges, because there's really no place you can go that God isn't already there. But at the same time, I know theologically we can quench the Spirit and stop him from moving. So one last step is he's got to come out of the tomb for this to go effective. That the doors have to open, and it's deathly quiet, like you can hear a pin drop. And in the Spirit, this is the way I heard it, as that door makes its first move. It probably would have been kind of like, and you hear a piece of rock chip. And supernaturally, by the hand of God, the door comes open. And the Son of God is loosed. And all of a sudden, in that moment, I realize that the resurrection means that Jesus is out of the box and he's loose. Can I tell you something? He don't have to get in your box. Well, God can't. He don't have to get in your box. He's not going to let you regulate him or me. It's going to be whether we will be obedient to him. It's whether we will surrender to him. It's whether we will accept him. And he can do things that may make you a little bit uncomfortable, but so did your mama and daddy. Amen? So that shouldn't really surprise us. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And just such a powerful thing. And all of a sudden in my room, I realized that life had been released. It had been loosed in the world, and the Prince of Life steps out of the tomb. And the resurrection of Jesus opens doors and turns death into life and open eyes and awakens people and breathes on them with fresh power from God. And that all of a sudden it dawned on me, it had traveled a couple of thousand years and was meeting with me, laying on my bed in my bedroom at 3:00 in the morning. He's got the time if you've got the time. I think there's a rumble in this room right now. I think that he's ready to awaken us, to let scales fall to our eyes so we can see the glory and the splendor of the King again. I think that he wants to open doors for doors that have been closed and you feel like you can't move forward, that he'll open those doors. I think that it's a breathing, that means a refreshing of the Spirit of God to come upon us and an infusion of light so that we can see clearer than we've ever seen before, and that maybe it means we move out of the box that our lives have been restricted in. to go to a fresh place with God, and that He would bring that. I think there are three impartations of the Spirit that He would like to release to all of us today. And one is fresh knowledge of Him, an awakening, creative thinking, wisdom, discernment, just like the sons of Issachar. I think that He would like to release fresh power to us. It's fresh to us. It's not fresh to Him. He's given it long ago, but sometimes we need reawakened to that which has all been there all along, with healing and strength and vitality. And I think that it's breath, the inspiration to finish running this race that God has called us to, and that it is a reauthorization of what it is that He wants to do. Here's what I know. I'm concluding. So you love me, right? Because it's nearly 12 o'clock, not even close to 3 right now. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe there are people sitting in this room, young and old alike, that God has something for you to step in that will satisfy the deep longings of your heart because they were designed for you. And I want to say something. I think this is an important thing to say, that's a kind of something we should know, but we preach. This pastor preaches. I preach. You say it. We always say this. God has a plan for your life. And we all go, amen. I want to say this to you. God has a plan for Himself. And the plan that He made for you fits into the plan that He made for Himself. Now, you can have your own plan, and it will take you that way. But God's plan may go that way. And His creative genius, His power, His authority, His omniscience, His all-knowing, all of that always goes where He is. Or we can say, you know what? I'm going to do this, and none of this will go that way. If we take a different path than the one that He's on, we can walk through this life struggling in our own power with everything that comes up. But I need to remind you, according to Psalms 139, the plan that He has for you is for your good. And not, it was created with you in mind. And it was created with how it was going to tap into everything that He is. And it will fill you and nourish you and strengthen you like nothing else on this earth will do. And if you are who God says you are, that is the best version of you possible. And you'll sing that old hymn. Standing tall and looking good, that's not a hymn, amen, but you will stand taller and better in your life than you ever have. Amen. So what I would like to do, Eddie, let's sing a song. Let that team come up here. I think we should just worship for a second. You can't brag on how good they are and then make them stay set down all the time. Isn't that right? Amen. And I'll let you set things up like you like them. But I want us to worship for a second, and then I want to pray for you that you would step in to this, that there's something of the rumblings of God that says something bigger is on the way. And we want to move early on with the P waves and S waves, so we're in on it before it comes. And I have a lot of things I'd love to talk to you about what I think that it is, but we don't have the time. But it's, wow. If your God is your partner, we don't make small plans. Amen. So something wonderful. What was that song about the river flowing earlier? It had a line about the river in it.
It did.
Pick one you like then. Amen. Because I'm going to like it too. So let's just stand together and let's worship just for a second. You're welcome to be seated if it's complicated for you to stand, but let's just worship for a second.
There's no place that His love can reach.
Hallelujah. Here's what I want to do this morning, and you're welcome to it. And the Lord tells me this way. He says, make it short and sweet and hard to beat. How many know preachers, when they say they have one more point, that means they have five more they're going to make. But I'm going to try to keep this simple. I believe that what I'm supposed to do, so I'm just going to offer it, is for you just to come by, and I'm just going to put my hands on you, pray, Lord, release what you have for them. That's all I'm going to say. It's not going to be a big, long prayer. I'm just going to say, Lord, because the Scripture talks about placing your hands upon people at various times. And I think that God is calling you into more, that the rumbles are there. It's for you, but it's for the body of Christ. But it's got to work out in your context with your people and your pastor. So I'm just going to pray that it begins. All right? So just continue to worship. And if you want to come by here, I'll just lay hands on you right quick. Yeah, okay, okay. Amen. And we'll get started. Thank you. I appreciate for your time. Amen. Thank you, Father. I pray that you just release, in Jesus' name, your mighty plan. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, thank you for your daughter releasing the plan of the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for your anointing to be released, in Jesus' name. Thank you for these young men. They're anointed in the name of the Lord. Fulfill the plan of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Good morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, release all you have for your daughter. Amen. God bless you. All you have for your son, Father, just release it today. In Jesus' name.
Who never changes.
All you have for your daughter, Father, in Jesus' name.
He is the same yesterday.
All you have for your daughter.
And always.
All you have for your daughter, Father. Amen. Like a dump truck. Amen. Praise the Lord.
He said,
all you have for your daughter. Amen. Press down, shaking together.
The anchor of the
Lord, I pray you give your daughter her heart's desire. All that you have in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. All you have in Jesus' name. Give us ears to hear the rumbling. Give me a handshake there, young man. Lord, do everything you've got for this young man. Amen. In Jesus' name. Lord, give your daughter everything that you have for
her.
Father, in the name of Jesus, for your son, pour out your spirit on him in a fresh, dynamic way. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hi, sir. Father God, I pray that you release all that you have for your son.
We will see.
Thank you, Father.
He is the same.
Well, Father
yes,
God,
today,
giving the
today
Holy
and no way.
Thank you, Lord.
Unshakable.
Thank you, sir. God, I pray.
Unshakable.
You're giving everything that you
he
have.
Stands.
Amen. God bless you, sir.
The anchor of the ages.
Well, Father God, I pray. Father God, just release the anointing of your spirit in full measure of all that you have in Jesus' name.
Precious blood.
Bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus,
there
I pray that you
would
just
bless
the fullness of your spirit for your daughter. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the mighty rumbles of your spirit. He says, war's on the way. So Lord, give her all that you have.
Unchangeable.
Father, I pray that you give your daughter all that you have in mind. Good measure,
the anchor of the ages, our foundation, the unshakable.
thank you. Father, I'm praying, Lord, for your daughter, that these
power of this earth
release presence and power in all that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I serve the Lord. Thank you. I'm doing well.
God, let your rules and reigns in love.
Father,
no matter what will
God, that you will drop a presence
in the
Father, give her all that you have for her and anoint her in a fresh way.
Shed a fresh shade.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Good.
Everyone that will,
Father God, I pray,
join in kingdom,
that we will receive all that we
have by
us.
Yes,
how measure
by the
Father, in the name of Jesus, that you release your authority and fresh anointing to your daughter in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
There's no place that his love can't.
Well, Father, I pray that
there's no place that we can't find.
Don't hold back.
There's no end to amazing grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Father, I pray that you release the power of your Spirit. That the deep tongues of God, that horn that you have coming, that you will step in.
Never let go, never leave my side.
I
am holding on to you. I am holding on to you.
Great is the heart of
in the middle of the storm, I am holding on to
you. Double portion of what you have. Quicken her physical body by your Spirit.
Love like
the power
this, oh my God,
her life. Let her get all that
I
you
am
have.
In Jesus' name. Of joy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love like
Amen.
This sets my heart.
Father, I pray today that you pour out your Spirit without
measure.
And that the deep rumbles of the Spirit echo inside of her heart.
kept holding
on. Amen. That was good. That was the Lord. Amen. Good morning.
There's
the Father, in the name of the Lord. He said, if any two agree,
there's no place that we can't find.
Are gathered in your name.
There's no way.
You are here right now, releasing to your daughter all that you have for her without measure, Father. God, release it in power.
Your arms
says, whatever you set your hands to, I'll bless you.
Amen.
Isn't God good? Well, I love you. God bless you. Thank you for giving us a few. You know, that prayer only took 15 minutes. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that good? Amen. Pastor, thank you. God bless you, everyone. Give them too. Amen.
In Jesus' name. So I told you it was going to be good. Amen. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. And I want to say, just like Brother Kim, wow, thank you, Lord. Amen. I receive it, and let's go and be blessed. There's time to fellowship out there, and y'all enjoy some fellowship with one another.